So all of us are born with cancer.
Yeah.
Because cancer is basically cells that don't know their place.
Okay.
So when you're born, you become a pluripotent stem cell.
Yeah.
And that becomes two pluripotent stem cells and four and 16 and 32 and everything else. And so for the first 16 divisions,
yeah,
it's like everybody's at the top of the ski slope.
Okay.
And then what happens is,
I've never met anyone like it.
You could hack anybody's phone in a matter of minutes.
Who is that guy? Who can do that?
Thomas is the most interesting man in the world.
He's one of my favorite people on the planet. Inventor.
Wicked smart.
The master of cutting corners.
If you had a dead body in your trunk, who would you call?
He would get arrested immediately in a lineup.
I stood in line to get his autograph.
You know, his mouth can barely keep up his brain.
I don't actually know what Pablos does.
A hacker magician.
Man of the future. 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 Future.
How does the FDA approve something personalized? I don't even understand that.
It's an N of one trial.
It's an N of one trial. Oh, so you do N of one trial for every patient. And does the FDA have a website where you can click through to do that?
Well, they're excited enough about this that they said, just keep going.
God, great. Oh, God, that's such a relief. How many patients do you think you can do before they start to get involved? I don't know.
They are involved. We went to them and said, here's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So it's very cool. Wow.
So if that's true, so basically you take because you have high quality sequencing that's not extremely expensive, you can sequence my tumor. I don't actually understand what it means to sequence my immune system. Does that mean you're looking at the antibodies my body makes anyway, or what are you looking for?
Yeah, we're looking, so the immune system is a very weird thing.
Yeah.
The person least likely to be an organ donor to you,
yeah,
is your spouse.
Right. Okay.
You almost never hear one spouse giving another a kidney.
Yeah. Interesting.
And the reason for that is somehow as humans, we tend to pick somebody with the complete opposite immune system from us.
Yeah.
To give our children the best chance of survival.
Great. Mate selection matters.
There's also bizarre distortions. So apparently there are marriages that break up just after the honeymoon.
Yeah.
And you think that's incompatibility after the honeymoon?
Yeah.
But sometimes this happens with people who've been living together for years.
Okay.
And it turns out that birth control pills can hide smell or whatever method we know to figure out the immune.
Right, right.
And so when you go off the pill,
yeah,
then all of a sudden the person who you absolutely adore, who's your life,
yeah,
becomes somebody that you can't stand physically.
Oh, man. It's so wild.
It's this weird stuff, right? So part of the way in which we're going to start treating cancer,
yeah,
is we're going to figure out, what does your immune system look like?
Okay.
How does it react to this particular tumor?
Yeah.
What is this tumor doing? And then use AI to go after that tumor. And then print a personalized cancer vaccine.
And is how important is it to find the thing that your immune system would be trying to do to it?
Enormously important.
Yes, because we can't just make that up.
So all of us are born with cancer.
Yeah.
Because cancer is basically cells that don't know their place.
Okay.
So when you're born, you become a pluripotent stem cell.
Yeah.
And that becomes two pluripotent stem cells and four and 16 and 32 and everything else. And so for the first 16 divisions,
yeah,
it's like everybody's at the top of the ski slope.
Okay.
And then what happens is these cells decide to ski down here and become bone.
Yeah.
And these become stomach. And these become eye. So once you start going down that mountain, you've got your entire gene code, but you differentiate into very specific body parts.
Yeah.
So what you're watching in your body is you're taking one cell and it's kind of going down this mountain to become every part of your body.
Yeah.
Like trillions of cells, but they each know their place.
Mm-hmm.
With cancer, what happens is two things. One, they don't know their place. And two, they don't know when to stop. So it's a little bit like your nose would keep growing. Your different ear would keep growing. And that's what a tumor is. So it's tied to this stuff. And your immune system throughout your life is basically going after these things and playing Space Invaders.
Yeah.
So it's just taking these things up, but these things are lowering and lowering. So in the measure that your immune system gets weaker as you get older, or in the measure that those cancers are particularly nasty genetic or radiation cancers, it overwhelms your immune system.
Okay.
So what we're going to try and do is we're going to try and do what your immune system does all your life, which is to fight these cancer cells.
Yeah.
By reactivating that immune system to target the specific tumors.
So maybe what's happening is there's a tumor that maybe your immune system just started to think, yeah, that one's not a problem. And it just stopped trying to take care of it or get rid of it. The specific kind of cancer.
So that's part of it.
Okay.
The other part of it is some tumors can go cold. So they don't get recognized by your immune system.
Yeah.
As this thing's growing here, be careful.
Yeah.
And then the third thing is, you know, your body gets old. Your muscles get tired. Your eyes get tired.
Yeah.
Your immune system gets tired. And that's the reason why most cancers tend to appear later in life. Almost all males will get prostate cancer.
I see.
At some point. And the question is it aggressive enough to kill you or will something else get you first?
So in that case, the immune system just tried to fight it for most of your life,
Yeah. Staved
it off as long as possible, just got worn out. And so the idea with these therapies is to be able to go and say, we're going to find the thing that was working before, drive that to go harder, faster, stronger,
right?
Keep going.
Yeah. To this specific threat.
Yeah, to that specific one.
So you're not trying to redo the whole of the immune system. You're trying to say, hey, wake up. This thing's really bad. Go after it.
We don't need the machine learning model to go figure out what to create to drive that. We're trying to discover it in your body. And then what you're using machine learning for is to figure out what direction, if this thing mutates in one way or another, how do we still get it?
Right.
Okay.
It's a little bit like COVID vaccines.
Yeah, because
so, or flu vaccine. So the thing mutates.
Yeah.
You keep adapting the vaccine, which is what's stimulating your immune system, except in this case, it's an antigen that you're using for the immune system.
Yeah. And what is happening in those 8 weeks?
So you're trying to figure out what type of cancer this person has.
Okay.
Why is this tumor growing?
Yeah.
What is the immune system doing? What kind of stuff would activate the immune system and then reactivate the immune system in the patient?
And are there some tests you can do for a given person to...
Oh, you have a standardized sequencing and typing. And it's a system that we've known for years works. You can never get those treatments down into a personalized level. And what's different today, for better and for worse, in cancer, it's great.
Yeah.
In places like national security, it's not great.
Yeah.
Is you can type the very specific stuff and build it.
Right.
And the good news in this stuff is if you ever do get a threat, you can also create the counter to that threat pretty quickly.
I'm sort of imagining that that's what, I mean, using kind of a computer security analogy, in computer security, we have anomaly detection on networks and stuff. You just find some, if you watch and see if there's something new you haven't seen before. And, a PowerPoint with extra executable code stuck on it or something. You notice anomalies. And then sometimes you quarantine them, then you go figure out what is it going to take to stop this thing coming in the future. And so I sort of imagine that's where we get to, is we end up with, sequencing all over the place. Anytime something novel shows up that we haven't seen before, it immediately gets investigated. If it's something that can get into humans, if it can become a real pathogen, then we start immediately designing the antigen or whatever we need to go after it. Does that sound...
So that's
plausible?
That's been happening for a long time.
Okay.
So back when we founded Synthetic Genomics with Venter, one of the things that we were doing is we were sampling surface seawater all over the oceans.
Okay.
So we got into a sailboat.
Yeah.
And it was horrible because we had to go to the Galapagos to
Fiji
to Seychelles to the Indian Ocean. It was just terrible work.
Especially an uncruel thing to do to scientists. I mean, they're not built for that environment.
It was just awful. And so we were sampling surface seawater. And the weird thing about the oceans is we think of them as giant Cuisinarts.
Yeah.
But they're not. Every 200 miles, you have more biodiversity than the Amazon. And you keep going 200 miles, and you keep going 200 miles, and it doesn't repeat. And so there's this incredible variety of stuff in the oceans. And the machinery that was used and the equipment that was used to sequence the human genome, we then applied to environmental sequencing. We increased the number of known genes by thousandfolds from all species.
Okay.
And then we started applying that technology to air.
Yeah.
So we started putting these air things in different cities just to capture if something was there.
Okay.
And so now what you can do is you can do the same thing we did with the oceans, which is, hey, there's a weird virus or there's a weird bacteria or there's a weird chemical.
Yeah.
In these things. And I don't know anymore, but you used to see these kind of weird setups in New York City or in D.C. or something, and they would look like little posts.
Here.
And they'd be nondescript, and they were just sampling the air. That technology is going to become commonplace across all of our lives. And it'll be interesting because you'll be able to see if there are flu stuff floating around your office building or if there's X floating around your building or Y floating around your building.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting world.
New stuff. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine named Kevin Slavin, who you've probably met before. I remember him.
Sure.
And what he's thinking is something, he's trying to build a system where it incentivizes everybody around the world to just go sequence everything they've got and put in a big library for everyone.
That's what we did with the Global Ocean Sequencer.
Yeah.
So we did that on a massive scale. And
where's that data now?
It's all public.
It's all public data. And at some point, is it a job for AI to pick through it and figure out if there's another Gila monster in there Gila monster, the lizard that made Ozempic.
So there's all kinds of uses for it. So there's a whole series of ways in which life forms take sunlight
and
turn it into power.
Yeah.
So leaves are giant solar panels.
Yeah.
And what this thing does is it takes these photons and it absorbs them and it allows the tree to live and process and grow. And that's basically sunlight from energy. So when you concentrate sunlight in trees, then what you can do is you can cut it up and burn it in your fireplace.
Right.
And basically what you're doing is you're burning concentrated sunlight in your fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you rot that tree for thousands of years, then you get oil. And then if you burn it and crunch it, then you get coal. So in essence, hydrocarbons and fossil fuels are concentrated sunlight in different functions. Now, what you can do is you can disintermediate that without having to go through the grow the entire tree stage. And you can do that in a really interesting way because part of what we found on this expedition is thousands fold more ways of transferring energy from sunlight into microorganisms.
What?
And that means, for instance, that you can disintermediate things like corn products. Instead of having to grow a corn plant and process the plant, and then you get the biorefinery, you go direct into the tiny microorganism and that makes the stuff you want.
Wow.
Or it transfers energy, or it concentrates
energy. In some sense, photosynthesis is 1,000 different things, or is it all photosynthesis, but then the result of that is being used to create these different operations?
So there's many, many different pathways to take energy from the sun and make stuff from it.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. I assumed it was just, whatever photosynthesis is, you take the sun and make something, and then from there, it's all the usual biological stuff.
Well, there's thousands of different biological pathways to do that.
Wow, amazing.
And that means that you can create biorefineries. That means that you can create energy storage. That means that you can create many, many different ways of structuring energy from sunlight.
Are there any, I know other than photovoltaics to make electricity from sunlight, do we have any man-made schemes that we use that do that? I mean, I guess you use sun to heat up water or whatever you can, but we're not using photosynthesis for anything other than what nature gave us already, right?
Well, all of agriculture.
Agriculture, but that's just basically redirecting what nature gave us, isn't it?
Well, except that more than 90% of the stuff we grow for to eat is unnatural selection.
Yeah, right.
Right? So it's actually, I want this kind of corn and this kind of row.
Yeah.
This kind of stage. Oh, and by the way, it's sterile corn, so it doesn't reproduce. Right?
Yeah.
That is not something found in nature. Hybrid corn is sterile. And so what you've done is you've done something completely unnatural so that the energy doesn't go into reproduction. It goes into feeding cows.
Yeah.
Or your weekend cookout. And so we've taken photosynthesis and we have massively repurposed it.
I see. Okay.
Solar panels are massive.
We have
repurposing of solar stuff. We're just learning to do the biological basis in a more and more sophisticated way.
Boo-hoo.
So that the energy gets disintermediated. I mean, one of the things that gives me hope in this world is that the solar cost curves are coming down so quickly that they're already cheaper in almost all the world than heavy oil.
Yeah.
And they're already cheaper than coal.
Yeah.
And what that means is you're going to get close to net zero without any kind of subsidies.
Isn't it amazing?